So I'll be talking about technology targeting remote sensing. As the two already have guessed already, this study is based in Bangladesh and it, actually in the Delta area of Bangladesh. Second, we have it's basically the Ganges River, Brahmaputra coming from here, and this is the target area. This is the target area for this study where we have a lot of surface water. And so basically, first going to give you background as to why we did this study, and then comes the analysis, and then a short outlook what we're going to do next. So in Bangladesh, basically, all the land is already being used, mostly just for cropland. And there is a challenge then is like, can we increase food production, because the country is losing land due to urbanization. Also, salinization is also another issue. And so then if you want to intensify crop production, then there's basically two ways to increase total production. It's either like going for higher yield or then growing more crops. And so what we're going to propose here is actually to grow two crops instead of one crop. This shows you the sort of the typical cropping pattern. In the in summer, basically almost all of Bangladesh is one big paddy rice field, and then in the winter season they grow various other crops, depending like from mustard, lentil, asparagus, some wheat, maize, and so on. On the right side here, we see the precipitation. On the left, this is actually the cumulative precipitation, and this is evapotranspiration. So you can see like January is really dry, February also, and then in March you start get some rain. So the idea is that you may actually be able to grow a crop with just one or two starter irrigations, and then the root crop may have developed enough that it can then tap into the groundwater table. Because the groundwater is usually quite close to the surface. Bangladesh is, the delta region is really flat. You have about 200 kilometers with elevation differences of less than 10 meters. So it's really just all flat, surrounded by lots of rivers and canals. So in Bangladesh, the main increase actually, Bangladesh can almost feed itself, which is really remarkable. They have about 1,000 people per square kilometer, so it's high intensity. And they basically were doubled rice production by growing an irrigated rice crop in the winter months in the north. But that's basically come through the use of access to groundwater that's being pumped. And, then the challenge is, or the problem is, that the groundwater levels are going down. Groundwater levels are decreasing. And so then in the south, there is a lot of land actually that's being left fallow, and that actually could be targeted for intensification. And also the idea is then also to use, like us in the north, where we have these service providers, to use the same kind of approach where we have an irrigation service provider who can then irrigate all fields for like a dozen of farmers. And yeah, these centralized irrigation schemes, I mean, they have their own challenges because they need to be maintained. Also, I have to say that the Brahmaputra and also the Ganges, they carry a lot of silt. So basically, these canals need to be cleaned all the time, which is quite a challenge. So now I'm going to tell you a little bit about the methodology, how we went about to assess like how much land actually could be targeted for intensification. So there are like different numbers of how much fallow land there is. We're going to come back to this slide like later on at the end. So what we basically use, this is sort of on the right side. I'm not going to go into details of this complicated graph. But what we use, basically we use Landsat 5, 7, and Landsat 8 images. And it analyzed various information layers. And I'm actually going to now walk you through this analysis that we did. So first of all, this is a study area. It's about more than 3 million hectares of land. And basically there are sort of two hydrological zones, the southwest and south central. And what we first used, actually, we wanted to see like what are the current intensity levels of land use. As we briefly discussed before, like we can estimate like how much light the crops intercept. That's actually ground cover, and then we can relate that to LAI. I then used the enhanced vegetation index, which sort of shows sort of quite nice relationship with LAI. It works quite well with low LAI and doesn't saturate as early as the NDVI. And so we first looked at the main crops. So these are the cash crops, or the crops that are grown also with farmers apply fertilizer. They usually irrigate. So there are wheat, mustard, rice, and maize. And if you see this is the development curve of maize. It's planted in January and develops over time, whereas wheat is planted in December already and peaks in late January, early February. We also have rice that's actually even planted a bit later than maize and has this increase. So then basically we can take the peak, just look at all the pixels and take for each crop we just then look at the maximum values that each crop, the curve that reaches, for instance, for maize, this would be the highest maize EVI value, or for water rice, this would be the highest. So then we added low intensity crops. These are mustard, lafiris, lentil, and mung bean, and you see the maximum that these crops reach can be nicely separated from the high intensity crops. And then we also looked at the land that's fallow. So basically we had from fields for which we knew which crop was grown, we then took the reflectance values out of the, based on Landsat images, and then did basically this land use intensity classification. So now we have three classes, high intensity, low intensity, and fallow land. And that is what the maps look like. Actually, previously, we had also done just an identification of cropland. That's quite simple. It's basically either a water, forest, urban, or then it's cropland. So what you see down here, all this land is being used for aquaculture. There's a lot of shrimp production, and this area is actually really increasing. It's quite a lucrative business for farmers. They earn much more money growing shrimp than growing rice. So what you also can see, all the dark blue areas, this is the areas where they grow irrigated rice mainly, or some maize as well. And the interesting part is down here in this area, you see it's quite low, it's either fallow or a lot of low intensity production where they grow legume crops mostly. So these are our area estimates. So we came up with about 240,000 hectares of fallow land, 800,000 hectares of low intensity, and then about another 800,000 hectares of high intensity land. And this sort of, the question is also what is fallow land, what's low intensity? So if you look at some government statistics, they actually had a sort of a clear definition of fallow land. So with our 200,000 hectares, we are quite close to the other estimates. But also the advantage actually of this study is that we know exactly where this land is, where is a fallow land, or where is this hectare of land that's being left fallow. Also, so then as I said before, we want to use this axial flow pumps for surface water irrigation, and so we need basically then proximity to surface water. And if we overlay any existing maps of the waterways, they just don't align well with satellite imagery, and that's just an example how dynamic this landscape is. Between 2000, this is out of Google Earth, so between 2004, that was the existing shoreline. Basically, you lost all this due to erosion, and then even more, and also down here. So it's really this these rivers, they constantly change the way they're running. So then what we had to do is basically we did the identification of surface water based on landside images. So that has a limitation because we really only can identify larger or wider water bodies. So this is like at the end of the rainy season, you see basically all this blue, the larger waterways. And then if we go to January, you already see like the red ones are the ones that dry up. And in February, all this part up here is sort of dried up. And that's because India built a dam here like in the 70s, and they just keep all the water more or less in the winter months. So therefore, you have like, as you will see next, quite a bit, well, you have less water flow here in the western part, and then also increase of salinity. So that's March. So there isn't that much change anymore between February and March. And so then this is actually surface water salinity. These are all the stations where they measure salinity. This is January, February, March and April, so you can see you have this huge increase in saline conditions. We define saline as 4 decisiemens per meter and higher. And that's also actually the area down here where they grow all the shrimp. And then we also overlay the soil salinity map, use the same thresholds like problem-free. Like if it's below 2 decisiemens, 2 to 4, it's sort of intermediate, and then high salinity, we set the threshold of 4. And then we created like a matrix between water salinity and soil salinity, and basically if soil and water salinity was below 2 decisiemens per meter, then it was highly suitable. Between 2 and 4, we had like the medium suitability, and then low suitability if soil and water salinity were between 2 and 4 decisiemens, and the rest we deemed non-suitable. So then basically when we overlay, that's the result of this matrix. So all the red area we said is non-suitable. We have some areas that are sort of low suitable. This is medium suitable, and then all the blue area is highly suitable where we have no issues with salinity at all. This is just an example. This is basically Google Earth background. Here have some fallow land here as well. And then all these basic, these are all like waterways. It's also where the villages are. So all the villages are sort of like surrounded by trees. This is the result from our land use intensity analysis I had shown you before. Just go back and forth. So like, for instance, look at this area. This is like the fallow land area. And then you have like lots of low intensity land. And then this is actually the land at the end. We then put like a 400 meter buffers around the waterways, which had water in late March. Where there was water detectable in late March. So basically, we assumed if there is water in a water body, then it could be used for irrigation, and then within 400 meters on both sides of the river, we could actually target that land. And so basically that's the area that we came up with. So we have like about 100,000 hectares of land that are like highly suitable, and another about 20,000 that are medium suitable. So there's quite a bit of potential to increase food production on this land, and this is just basically land that's along the rivers, along water bodies we could detect. And as you can see basically here in the west, as I pointed out before, there is no water available, we have salinity issues here, and then the eastern part, that's sort of the ideal area for technology targeting. It's actually then the area where we aim at deploying this axial flow pumps to use surface water for irrigation in the winter months. And also another challenge in Bangladesh, as I said before, it's all flat, so you sometimes have like land just stays wet for a long, long time, and it's sometimes even underwater, even up to now, like 1 or 2 months after rainy season. And the brown areas basically is where the water is standing for a really long time. And but down here, it's the suitable area. That one drains actually pretty well. So then also it's a problem because basically the rice crop has to mature, and then you have to be able to get into the land and do the land preparation as well on time, so that it can grow the, that you can plant the crop either in late December or in early January. And so basically what we now have, this special database. We know exactly like where there is water available, where is low, whether it's fallow land or low intensity land, and that's sort of just a base for then we can use for targeting technology. We sort of know in which areas to go, where is the highest potential that this new technology will be adapted by the farmers. Obviously, the study also has some weaknesses. One of them is that we, with Landsat, we didn't really detect all the surface water bodies. We compared it to some other more detailed maps, and we think we only actually detected about 25% of the water bodies. Although I also have to say some of them actually served just to drain off water in the summer months. But they can be also managed through proper opening and closing of the sluice gates. And obviously, good water governance is key, so that farmers have to be basically, or farmers in the region, they have to be in agreement when to fill the canals with water and when not. And but there is quite a big potential actually to increase food production substantially. We did some estimates. You can, just on this land, you can increase wheat production by about 10% for Bangladesh. And it's just a quick outlook. Now we, based on this project, or that actually was the basis for another project that we're about to start this winter, where we will develop an irrigation scheduling algorithm for maize, wheat, boro, and mung bean. Because, as I said before, we have we have a water table that's quite close to the surface. So the idea is, if we have like one or two irrigations, we may get the crop started. So we actually don't have to irrigate that often, but that all of that needs to be studied more in depth and better quantified. And we're going to use some UAVs, also rapid eye and digital globe imagery, and also Landsat for this entire area. It's about 7,000 square kilometers, so we get about 9 rapid eye coverage. So then we can also do the comparison between very detailed studies with octocopter thermal sensor, and then use the optical satellite imagery as well. That's it. Thank you.